Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, and I'm reading from the New International Version for the book of 1 Samuel and the book of James, and in the Psalms today will be in the New Living Translation. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're going to split the chapter up into 2 days, and so I'll read verses 1 through 23. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sinna. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outpost and raiding parties. And the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah in Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God." At that time, it was with the Israelites. When Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth-Aven. In this passage, I love how Jonathan describes the Lord's presence with him. He says in verse 6, "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." This has been a lesson we're learning over and over as we go through the scripture and even on Sunday mornings during the passages that we're learning from. It's this idea that God is mighty to save. He is the one with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And the Lord, whether we have 300 men or 30,000 men, it doesn't matter. The Lord is the one who can win the victory. We come again to Psalm 22, one of my favorites, a reminder of our Lord who was on the cross, who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You may know that my feelings are that Jesus was not forsaken, but he felt forsaken, just like we sometimes feel forsaken. And we can know, because as we read to the end of this psalm, that the psalmist wasn't forsaken, that he stood in the midst of the brethren, and he prophesied and he praised the Lord. And we believe that that's what Jesus Christ did when he rose from the grave. He appeared to many, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Psalm 22, for the choir director, a psalm of David, to be sung to the tune, Doe of the Dawn. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horn of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but he has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. This psalm was long, so I hope you didn't get lost in it, but did you see some of the messianic language that was there? Verse 18, they divide my garments among them and throw dice for my clothing. Think about our Lord Jesus on the cross, where they decided to cast lots for the clothing. Verse 16, they have pierced my hands and feet. This is a psalm of David, but it's also a psalm that is recounting what happened on the cross. My heart is like wax melting within me. All my bones are out of joint. Think of Jesus and his body as he hung on the cross. And in verse 7, everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. And we know the full story, don't we, that the Lord did provide. And Jesus was raised 3 days later to proclaim the goodness of God to all generations. And because of that, we give praise. Now we open up the New Testament to the book of James, chapter 3, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And this is a passage about taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Thank you, dear Father, for being our protector, the Prince of Peace, the one who provides for us. You are the quieter of the storm. You are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger with us. And even when we feel abandoned and we ask, Lord, where are you? We can be assured of your presence because we know that you are present with the Lord when he was suffering death. He was resurrected, and you are with us in the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of the storm. Lord, you are the quarrel mender. I know that many of my brothers and sisters are going to be in the midst of family situations that may be a little bit sticky. I just pray, Lord, that you would cover our mouths and remind us to be a people who look to you and to your purposes first. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us as we are entering into conversation to be submissive and to ultimately submit ourselves to you. You are the quarrel mender. You're our redeemer, our refuge, our restorer, and the rock of ages. And so we bless your name. We praise you for your unending love. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.